You know who the Quakers are?
The crackers?
They are, technically. Technically, yes. Inconsistent. People are complicated, right? Nobody, or at least back in the day. Nowadays, people follow trends. Back in the day, people were more particular, right? And we don't have to look that far back. If you look at Nixon's time, you had Democrats that voted Republicans, or Republicans that voted Democrats. Then you had Democrats and Republicans working together to get things done. Even that time, you know, and it wasn't until Clinton came around where he was like a new phase of president, right? Like, we entered a new. Clinton was kind of like JFK was when he showed up. He changed the scene. Right, Clinton showed up wearing sunglasses, playing the saxophone on a sitting room.
Fresh.
We were like, this is a different kind of president.
You modern, know what I'm saying? Young, hip.
Yeah.
President that's with it.
He brought us into a new era of presidency, right?
Yeah, I would agree.
So back in the day, these founding fathers.
Obama brought the race one.
Obama brought the race one, yeah. He's half white. Right? First half white president we have had.
That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah. Good. So when they first started this country, they were very particular because they left.
Who's they?
The founding fathers, the original, the OGs.
Daddies.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were born into a place where they were kind of like the way, imagine Puerto Rico is right now, like a commonwealth. Where it's like, we have America over us, they had Britain over them. So
the overlords.
And even right now, we're not going to get into that topic, but even now America's doing stuff to Puerto Rico that's disadvantaging Puerto Rico.
Overlords, right.
Back in the day, Britain did that to America, and America was like, enough is enough.
We're done.
We're done. We're going to start a revolution.
We're not taking it in the butt anymore.
We're done.
Got it.
They had 13 colonies.
I would hate to live in that time. Go ahead.
Absolutely. No bathroom. Crazy.
Oh, God.
They had the 13 colonies that were run by Britain. Their rules, their governance.
Those everything. Are their states.
Their states, not America. They established rule of law, yeah. And so when Britain brought slaves to work in the country,
yeah,
and you know, America, what is it? Columbus came in one year. This is part of the song. Do you know the song?
Let's do it.
You know the rhyme? Ready?
Good.
Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492. We all know this from school. Right, so you know, we're talking about around that time, maybe 15 to the 17, right? So we're talking about what's that, like 200 years, yeah, minimum,
probably a little less,
probably less, that they brought slaves, whether it be Britain or Spain or Portugal or France, they all bought slaves. So America, when America was founded, when they finally separated from Britain and fought this war, they inherited this slavery issue.
This is ours.
Yeah. They came in with this. They're like, all right, now that it's over, what are we going to do now? Now we make the rules. You know? So when the founding fathers, remember, these are just kids in their 20s.
That look like old ass men.
Yeah, because they want to wear white wigs for some reason. It was cool.
What was that about?
Bro. They still do that in England.
Really? Judges. Yeah, when the judges.
They wear white wigs, yeah.
We should bring that back.
We should get white wigs.
But not in the summer. Go ahead.
We should get white wigs for episode. So, these guys, the kids even, sitting in a room, trying to be like, all right, what would be, it's kind of like what we do sometimes. We're like, all right, what if the episode I'm going to post on the 20th is when the power goes out, what's going to happen? And we kind of had a conversation about that.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's kind of what they did. They're like, all right, now, as a country, how would we run this? How would we want, you know? And the conversation of slavery comes up, and then they going back and forth. Some people are like, we got to get rid of it. We're writing a Declaration of Independence that says all men are created equal. So does that mean them too? Are they men? Right?
Yeah. Do they count?
Do they count or not? And now they got people that remember, there's 13 colonies, so there's representatives from each colony. They're sitting in it. And they're like, you're not taking away my property. You know what I'm saying? So in the original, remember, they wrote...
Right, because I own 30 of them. Now you're going to tell me that these people are free?
You're free?
You're bugging.
And this is how I make money.
Yeah, I'm not going to go out there and pick cotton.
Yeah, no way. This is all I have right now is cotton. And I'm not, I don't have enough, I don't even have, even if I wanted to do it, I don't have enough family.
Children.
To replace the amount of labor I have in these fields. If I got 30 guys in the field, I don't got 30 kids.
Yeah.
Or family members that are going
to. My business is done.
Done.
We're screwed.
So we, and then also, and then that's to let the North free. The North receive the cotton and they turn it into clothes or whatever. Their factories are like, if you slow them down.
Then we got nothing to sell.
That ruins our business.
Yeah.
So we can't do this just.
All around, we're screwed.
Yeah. So.
So the children writing the founding fathers, aka children,
basically children. Yeah, they're in their 20s. You know, I don't think any of them was older than freaking 30, unless I think George Washington, which never really, he lost more fights than he won.
Yeah, he was a loser.
He was a loser. Yeah, he was a loser. So Thomas Jefferson was writing the Declaration of Independence, and he added to get rid of the slaves in that original, you know, in a. In a 168-word passage, he was blaming Britain and King George III for the transatlantic slave trade. And he described it as a cruel war against human nature, right? So Thomas Jefferson is writing this down as the basically saying this is wrong. And then he passes it over so everybody can read it over. And the southern states are looking at it like, gotta take those words out, brother.
Which words were they again? Read it again.
About the slavery. He's blaming King George III for the transatlantic slave trade. And he described it as cruel war against human nature. So what he's saying is that this is wrong. Okay?
Inclusion of this language represented a bold moral denunciation of the institution at the highest level of revolutionary discourse.
All right. They got rid of it though, right? I don't know if you know this, the history of the way they wrote the Declaration of Independence. There was a different draft of what we have now. There was a different government we had originally that they first tried to figure out. Everybody sent a representative, da da da. Then amongst the representatives, we could figure out the laws.
And they fought.
Yeah. But everybody was like even, so it was hard to get things done. Basically, they had no power.
Right.
And eventually people were like, why do we even bother with this? Nothing's happening. So they had to rewrite it to give a president and a vice, then a Congress to represent. The original government they had just became Congress.
Yeah.
Then they had to bring judges to rule the
law. But they knew enough that there had to be order and there had to be a structure.
Yeah.
You know, we had to give the mic to somebody. There had to be a president. What his function is doesn't matter. There has to be this thing that we'll figure out what this thing does. Then there has to be this thing. We'll figure out what this does.
Yeah, ultimately, there has to be somebody making decisions independent from the rest of us. And we can change that guy every few years.
Yeah, if we don't like what he's doing, we can get him out, get him out of here.
Yeah, we give him 4 years to prove himself. He does. We don't like him, get him out.
God, you just reminded me of when I was in Red Hook and they were trying to do the whole civic. They were trying to build this whole community organization and they failed because no one wanted to agree that there should be a governing body. The people that wanted the governing body were seen as male alphas. And that killed the vibe. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh my god,
I felt like I experienced this a little bit. So good.
So they were doing this, mind you, they were doing this in bars. They were sitting down drinking straight up. There's some of these bars exist in Manhattan still, downtown Manhattan.
Yeah. So you know, fights were brawling.
Yeah, exactly.
People were getting emotional.
They would close the doors. Literally, that's what they would do. They would go into the bar, close the door, and just amongst these 15 guys,
hash it out.
They would just hash out. And they'll be arguing back and forth. This is dumb. We can't do this. We can't get rid of this. So while they're going, mind you, a lot of this conversation happened before they even fought Britain, when they were still trying to figure out
plotting.
Can we do this?
Yeah, this, if we could do this, this is what it would look like.
And the southern states were like, we'll help, but you can't get rid of them. We have to keep this.
Yeah, whatever you do, we're with you. Just you can't.
You cannot touch this. This is us.
The south wanted that.
And the north was like, we can't win without their power, without their manpower.
They filled it. They
even George Washington was from the southern state, was from Virginia.
Not that they folded, but they saw that there's a conflict. If we're going to say all men are created equal, there's a conflict because we're kind of like contradicting ourselves in this draft.
Yeah.
You don't want to start off on a bad foot.
No. But even within this writing or within this planning, they actually added that all men are created equal was just like a, let me throw that in to see if it passes.
And it did.
And they, I guess they didn't notice that. Or maybe in their heads they thought, yeah, they're not men, they're animals.
Right. That's so exactly
that's what okay, it was. Let it go.
Yeah.
But the person writing was like, This is gonna be
not only are they animals, but women are not men. So yeah, we don't yeah, even yeah. need that doesn't yeah.
So when Thomas Jefferson added that in, he added that in, and I think I'm trying to remember where I read it at. But he added that in knowing that later on in the future, a court or a lawyer or a president would look back and be like, we need to use this text to get them free. He said it almost like a lighting the fuse and just pushing it.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, oh, this is for later. This is somebody else.
He goes, battle. I might not be able to do this, but I can set up the next guy.
Well, yeah, somebody's going to notice that this is.
Because even Thomas Jefferson, he had conflicts. And a lot of these guys, these founding fathers, almost all of them owned slaves. Okay. Alexander Hamilton never owned a slave, but he married into a family that had slaves. George Washington, George Washington is interesting. He's one of the ones I read the most about. He had slaves.
He didn't want them.
No, he wanted them.
Oh.
Check it out. He wanted them. Then he married a widow that her husband died and she got the slaves. And then they married. They had kids. Now he's starting to have this Revolutionary War conversation and they're talking about having freedom. And in that time, his mind is like, what about these guys? What about them? You know? And his ideas of freedom and liberty was changing his thoughts on slavery. And then eventually he won the war and he's like, how can I get rid of this slavery thing without dividing the country? And he couldn't do it. He was like, that's not going to fall on me. Somebody in the future is going to take care of it. But what I could do is free my slaves. As a president, obviously he couldn't do that.
That was the worst thing he could do to those people. But go ahead.
Yeah. So as president, he felt like he couldn't do it. So what he did was he said, on my will. Oh, this is what he did. He changed from collecting cotton, which is a very labor-intensive job, to tobacco, which is a little bit easier. So he's like, I'm going to give them more time for themselves. And then he gave each of them like a little space of land on his property. You have your own farm. Grow whatever you want. Build your own house, whatever you want. He even gave some of them guns. He's like, go hunting, catch food.
Hell no.
Yeah. Because he was like, I want to give them much freedom. And then what he did was he was like, the kids, let's teach them how to read.
Oh, no.
Let's teach them how to read.
You raising Obamas?
Yeah.
You raising little Obamas?
So he's trying to like set them up because when the day comes and the ones that were old or injured, he made sure they were taken care of.
Would you have been a good slave owner?
I think so.
I don't think so.
I think so.
I see your child right here.
Yeah. He's working.
Look at him for free.
Yeah. So he's setting up this process. And then he says, what about my wife? She's going to be an old woman alone.
With all these free slaves?
Yeah. So he's like, when she dies, I want everybody to be set free. So that's what he put in his will. And his will is when I die, when my wife,
I lost all my slaves.
No, so then what happens is he dies. Then now mind you, she's in a house. And everybody in the field is looking at us like, if she dies, we're free.
With their guns.
With their guns. Like, if she dies.
I sense a plot here.
Meanwhile, she's an old lady. She's barely, she's like, you know.
This mother.
But what she did was she decided to free them.
Hell yeah, okay? You do.
Within a year of George Washington dying, she was like, I'm just going to free them all.
Done. And maybe one or two will stay and take care of my ass.
But this is the problem.
Uh-oh.
He had his slaves and she had her slaves, right?
Oh, not his and hers.
They've been living together for a long time, so they had babies with each other.
The slaves?
The slaves, right?
Oh, obviously.
Now, when she dies, her kids from the other marriage came and was like, that's our property now. We inherit that. She can't free them. They belong to us. So,
wait, the slaves is owning the slaves?
No, the George Washington's wife's kids.
Oh, the damn grandchildren.
They came in and like, those are ours. You can't free them. They belong to us. So George Washington's slaves were free. Her slaves went to the grandchildren, but the problem is they had kids with other slaves. So now you're splitting up families.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
And they have guns still.
Yeah. But I mean, that's just a side story about like, you know, there's way more. Like George Washington, the founding fathers all together are interesting because all of them started off with slavery. And then as the years go by, you can see in private letters they're writing to like wives and friends. They're like, I don't know how I feel about this.
Wow.
I don't like the way this looks. This is not right. I guess because they get, you know, you talk to them. They're working your field.
Right, because the whole concept of us gaining our freedom from this overlord that was hurting us, and now we get this sense of freedom, and now we're sort of doing the same thing to these people. After a while, morality kicks in.
Yeah. And then George Washington wrote this. He wrote, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. So what he's saying is, if God is just, I'm scared because of what we're doing to these people.
Yeah.
So we're bound to pay for this.
Yeah,
as
yeah.
a country.
If God is fair,
yeah.
then God is fair enough to see that what we're doing isn't fair.
Yeah.
And I'm in trouble.
During the American Revolution, Thomas Jefferson was actively involved in the legislative efforts to curb slavery, drafting a Virginia law in 1778 that prohibited the importation of enslaved Africans and proposing a 1784 ordinance that it would have banned slavery in the Northwest Territories. So basically what he's saying is this: no more bringing slaves from Africa. Done. Cut that off as
you're
a country.
You're on the same document? No.
Yeah.
You are.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
You should be.
You should be. So what he's saying is when you bring the slave, I don't want slaves coming here into America anymore. I'm not saying we got to get rid of all the slaves. I'm just saying we're not importing anymore. We're done. Okay? And then what he's saying, this new territory that we're taking over in the new territories that we're taking over in Ohio, and I forget what other states are up there, none of them are going to be allowed to have slaves. So these new people, these new states that came in, we don't want them to have slaves. But we're not touching the South. You guys do what you do. These new guys, we're not going to allow them to have slavery anymore. So he's already causing like a division. Even before even they die, they're already forcing a division there. So we have free slaves states and we have slave states. Okay?
And most of the free slaves states were in the North.
The free ones are in the North, yeah.
All of them.
But not to say that all the northern territories didn't have slaves. Some of them did.
Yeah.
But
there were more free ones up there. So this is why the North is revered as the...
The good guys.
The good guys.
America.
But meanwhile, they still had slaves, a vast majority of them, number one. And number two, those that did saw it as... a gain of profit, you know, this is our livelihood, right?
And now remember, Thomas Jefferson was writing this, saying we got to stop importing slaves. And I know I wrote it somewhere, but basically what they did was when they first started the Declaration of Independence, actually still in the Declaration of Independence today, saying that we're going to stop importing slaves in 1805 or something weird like that. Like 20 years in the future. So because they knew...
Get your slaves!
Basically. They knew that they were going to stop it. They're like, hurry up, import as much as we can.
Hurry up and get your slaves. Yeah. There's a deadline.
So because there was a deadline, they kept importing more and more. So they ramped up the slave trade in America. Meanwhile, they're trying to stop it. Right? And then once the slave trade stopped, they got 20 years. They're like, all right, let's get some babies going. We got to multiply these guys. Jesus, like cattle. Yeah. Christ. So even though they were trying to get rid of them, to get rid of slavery... The other states were like, we got to ramp this up because we have a limited amount of time. Okay? In saying that, Thomas Jefferson still had 600 slaves. Even in saying that, saying, I want to free them, but
I'm going to keep my 600.
I'm going to keep my 600. Not only that, I have 600. I got one that I really like and I'm having some kids with.
Woo!
That his ancestors are still alive today. They're all black.
They're still slaves?
No. No. They're Thomas Jefferson's ancestors from the slave. What's her name? Hold on. I got her name in here, I think.
Oh, man. You just hurt me. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, this is something he said, though. He said that they were inferior to white people.
Highlight it so we can see what you're looking at.
Oh, I'm not. That's Damien. Yeah, right there.
No, you highlight it so he can find it.
No, he can't see what I'm doing. Oh, unless you give me the mouse.
You highlight yours.
Oh, you can see that? Oh, okay. My bad. They're inferior to white people. Oh, this is the lady's name right here. Sally Hemings.
Okay.
So she was an enslaved woman with whom he fathered children. It's a devastating personal example of the hypocrisy of man who wrote about the universal liberty while holding others in bondage.
What a hypocrisy.
Yeah. Again,
Nah.
Wait, hold on.
What was that?
Are we going to say at least he started this process?
Ah, the fine line.
At minimum, he did something that was like, all right, you started something that other people weren't going to do. You know what I'm saying? You were being the guy that was different.
So do you weigh heavy on the fact that he had them, or do you lean on the fact that he paved the way or opened the conversation to freeing them? Yeah. Where do you lean? I mean, are you going to remember him for holding the 600 and getting one note?
Yeah.
Or
that's what I'm saying. People are complicated.
People are complicated.
You know, because
but you still can't negate the fact that he opened the door for later on others to be able to take it further.
Yeah. He still started the process.
It sucks, right? It's like you don't want to give him credit.
Yeah, but you don't want to give him credit. You don't want to,
but it's like. Mm.
But also, you don't have to say he's a good guy. But you also can't say he's a bad guy.
Yeah,
he was a man of the time.
How about you just say what it is and let the individual decide?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Like, what do you think? Was he a good guy or a bad guy? You can't pick both.
Yeah, yeah. I think he was a complicated person like everybody else.
You see, that was a both. That was a bisexual answer, bro. Yeah, yeah. It got to be either one or the other. I'm going to go with, you see, that's the whole analogy of if you have a cup of water and there's a speck of dirt, is the water clean or is the water dirty?
Yeah. I guess he's dirty.
Dirty mother. That's what he is.
So then George Washington, remember they're fighting the Revolutionary War. During the Revolutionary War, France comes to America and is like, yo, we don't like the British either.
And we'll give you a statue.
We can help you guys. Yeah. We can help you guys.
Fight. That was a French. Yeah, that was a French.
So there's a guy, Marquis de Lafayette. Lafayette.
High school.
Exactly. A lot of things, especially in the East Coast, is named after him. Right, because yeah. He helped fight for the Revolutionary War. He's the one that made sure France sent ships over to help fight the British. They had ships in the middle of the ocean. So when the British were coming, they were like fighting them off. Yeah. So
front line.
Lafayette was very much opposed to slavery. So he's in George Washington's ear telling him like, yo, are you fighting for freedom or not?
Oof.
You know what I'm saying?
See, so, I want to live in those times for that.
Yeah, yeah,
for
yeah.
For the beef. Okay, go ahead.
So then another thing that George Washington had going for him is that during the Revolutionary War, he had slaves fight with him. Not just slaves, but also free blacks. He's like, we're fighting for this country to be free. And they picked up guns and they're like, we'll help you. Right? At the time, Britain, the King George, whatever, set out information. Remember, they have soldiers in America.
Yeah.
This was their country. Ooh. So they have soldiers all over the place. So they told the soldiers, tell the slaves, if they defect and fight for us, we'll give them freedom in Britain.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good moves.
Yeah, exactly. Good move.
Good move.
But a lot of them still sided with America. You know, so it said an estimated 5,000 African American soldiers, both free and enslaved, fought for the Continental Army under George Washington's command. There was a letter that George Washington wrote, and I believe it was to his wife. And this is one of the things he wrote. He said that he liked to see a plan adopted for the abolishment of slavery by gradual legislative process.
What the hell was that? Farted?
Yeah. Sorry, people. What he's saying is that I want to see the abolishment of slavery little by little. Because if you just cut it, problems.
All hell's going to break loose.
But we can do it slowly, just like you boil the frog. Right? You ever heard about that? When you boil the frog?
No. What happens when you boil the frog?
The frog's cold-blooded, obviously. So he takes the temperature of the environment around him. But if you put the hot up little by little by little by little, he just chills. He don't jump out. He kind of just chills in the water until the point where it's boiling. And by that point, it's too late. He doesn't even know he's being boiled. He just dies.
Oh.
So that's what he's saying. There's a process. You go little by little, and eventually we get the frog dinner. You know what I'm saying?
You ever had frog?
I think in Bessel we had it. Frog legs one time.
What?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I had frogs in the second grade. We went to Chinatown, and she didn't tell us.
Who's she?
The teacher.
That is abuse.
And those frog legs were delicious and golden. Go ahead.
Then you got Benjamin Franklin, right? A lot of people confuse Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin.
Why?
Thomas Jefferson was a president. Benjamin Franklin was not a president. actually during the war, Benjamin Franklin went to Europe as an ambassador to America to try to recruit. Yo, we need help. We need help. Let me send some money. Let me send some troops. So Benjamin Franklin was actually a big help in the Revolutionary War, even though he wasn't.
But here. Thomas Jefferson?
Thomas, he was just here. He was just a guy.
He was just a guy.
Benjamin Franklin owned slaves, blah, blah, blah. In the beginning, he even wrote letters advertising that, hey, a slave got loose. Let's capture this guy because he owned slaves. So this is another thing that they had going on. The South, during the beginning of the country, they're like, you have free states and we have slave states. What if our slaves go to the North? Are they free? And we're like, we got to make a compromise.
Vice versa.
We got to make a compromise here.
Wow.
Like, what are we doing here? So the North was like, fine. If they come to our land and they're yours, we can enact a fugitive act and put them to get under arrest and we can send them back. Like, we'll make a deal with you.
Boy, it really sucks to be a slave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez.
And then side note, there was groups of people in the North that were from the South or had connections in the South that would capture free people that were never slaves in their whole life. Capture them and ship them to the South and turn them into slaves.
Oh my God, the Rapture.
Yeah. And that movie 12 Years a Slave, you ever seen the movie?
I feel like I did.
It's about that.
Jeez.
The guy's free. And you know, they used to walk around with a piece of paper saying, hey look, I'm free.
Yeah, you know, leave me alone. Yeah.
And they would just get rid of it, throw it out. You're going down South. Done.
You're not free no more.
We'll never see you again. We'll throw you into the freaking wild fields. We'll never see you again. Franklin's views changed significantly during his years in London from 1757 to 1775, where he was exposed to abolitionist ideas, particularly those of the Quakers. You know who the Quakers are?
I wish you would highlight so we could see what you're reading, but you know.
You know who the Quakers are?
The crackers?
They are, technically. Technically, yes. You're right, yes.
Okay.
The oatmeal guys.
Yes. The hat.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. So mind you, he was in Europe for 20 years, pretty much. Then when he came back.
At the age of 81?
Yeah, 81.
God, he lived forever at that time.
I mean, yeah. Geez.
Wow.
He became the president of the Pennsylvania Society for Promoting the Abolition of Slavery in 1787. This organization was founded by the Quakers when? 1775.
Philly got the history, bro. You ever did the whole Liberty Bell, whole independence. Okay.
So America, the Declaration of Independence was signed when?
1776.
And in 1775, the Quakers started this organization, the Society of Promoting the Abolition of Slavery.
In 1787.
No, that's when he took over, but they started in 1775.
Founded in 1775, was the first of its kind. Franklin's final public act, just 2 months before his death in 1790, was the signing a petition on the behalf of the Society of to Congress, which called on new federal government to cut the cancer of slavery out of the American body politic.
So he called it a cancer on America.
Wow.
Because he knew this will grow and take over the country if we don't get rid of it.
Wow.
Yeah. And they would, you know, mind you, they had slaves. Most of them. I don't know if...
Right, because you would figure every slave owner had, what, 10 to 1?
Yeah.
At least? Or 5? Whatever it was more than them. The owners were outnumbered, so eventually it would be a takeover.
Yeah. I mean, if it would have kept going, who knows what would have happened? They would have put a limit. They would have enacted laws like you can't have more than 10 per acre of land.
All right, so tell the audience real quick what your plan is about, you know, because this guy loves history, you know what I mean? He obviously didn't pay attention to school and history, unlike me.
Well, the hope is that every week...
Quakers.
Every week I would, or every day even, I don't know yet, I'm going to do this.
Oh, follow this guy.
But I want to give a quick synopsis of each president, one by one. The thing is, this topic, you can't cover this topic...
In one sitting,
because there's so much involved. It's not just one guy. It's all of them had this conversation, like, we got to get rid of this. We just can't do it now.
Right.
We need the manpower to fight these Britain. The Britain is the biggest, strongest army in the world at the time. And America's just 13 colonies of farmers.
Oof.
So they're like, how are we going to do this? We need everybody we can get. In fact, we need other countries to help us too. Right. We can't do this. You know what I'm saying? So they were like, we gotta, we have
that's
to
like be the first UN.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Because these 13 colonies, originally they functioned as basically their own countries. And it wasn't until they wrote the actual Declaration of Independence that we have today, where they made a united federation of countries, what now we call the United States.
Okay.
All right. You know what I'm saying?
All right. So where can people follow you and like your content?
Hold on, hold on. Let me just talk about these last. Let me fast forward.
You're going to fast forward?
Yeah, David, just go down to the chart. You're going to see it when you slide down.
All right.
Let's just talk about this last thing, the compromises.
Compromises between the two sides.
The two sides.
Okay.
They made three compromises, and one of them was the 3/5 compromise. Right?
I remember this.
The 3/5 compromise is this. The South had mad black people. The North had less. And they were like, when they're forming the Congress, they're like, all right, we're going to do this by population. And they're like, you guys have mad people.
Way more people.
And not only that, you don't even let them vote. So
they're slaves.
We're going to count them in your population, but they're not voting and picking laws. You guys are. So that's not right. So what we have to do is work something out.
Do some math.
So for every 3/5 compromise, so every person is 3/5 of a man or whatever, or 3/5, I can't remember.
So it takes five of us to make one man.
Yeah, basically. Something.
Woo, like. I like the sound of this, honey.
It becomes an illegible, blah, 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 blah. And increase the political power and find middle ground.
So does that mean that the slaves had a vote only in fives?
They didn't have a vote.
They didn't.
They just counted as population.
So
that's why the North is like, we can't give you all that power because you will have, we will all be slave owners by the end of this because you'll have all the votes.
So, okay, we're going to do votes. And for every five people, you get one vote.
Yeah.
And you got to use your vote wisely on what you want to do on any given
but
topic.
But you got thousands of people more than us.
Right. So we're going to divide it. So every five only counts as one. Yeah, so whereas one of us is one.
Yeah.
We all get one over here, but y'all get only five.
So if we got 1,000 people and you got 10,000, you still have way more votes than us.
Right, right.
So we can't do that. Especially because they're not going to vote. You're not going to let them vote. They're not going to have a legislature.
Sounds a little bit more like the electoral college process.
Yeah. So the North is like, we'll give you 3/5. So you do count some of those numbers. But we can't give you everything because then you're going to out.
You're always going to win.
You're always going to win.
Democrats.
And if we let you win, then we'll all be slave owning states.
All be gay.
So we can't do that. And remember, they have something in mind. Like, we got to get rid of this.
Yeah, eventually.
So they have to. This 3/5 compromise was to help free the slaves. Mm. Well, people don't look at it like that nowadays. They're like, oh, they only look at us 3/5 of the person.
Wow, they only counted us as a quarter of
meanwhile, they're like, we did this to help you. You guys don't understand the nuances. Understand.
How do you think you got here?
Yeah.
Wow.
Congress would not ban the importation of slaves of people for 20 years. 20 years until 1808. Oh, that's what it was. To allow the Deep South state, particularly South Carolina, Georgia, to secure a continued labor supply. And the immediate impact postponed the federal ban and inadvertently spurred the growth of a lucrative domestic slave trade. Oh, that's what I was telling you before. Where they're like, we're going to give you 20 years before we cut off the slave trade. And the people in the South was like, all right, bring them in, bring them in, bring them in. Biggest orders. Shipfuls. Don't, if they die, they die. Just bring as many as you can bring. Yeah. Before it was just like, bring what you want, bring what we need.
But we needed votes.
There was a point where they were like, just pack the ships. If we got 1,000 of them on that ship and 20 of them dies, who cares? Just bring them.
We need the votes.
We need them. Yeah, we need the, you know, we got 20 years to do this. And then this is the fugitive slave trade that I was telling you about, where if they fled to the North would basically like a warrant of arrest. We captured them, we sent them back. But then, you know, even within the North, there was people that knew that there were slaves there, but they kind of just ignored it because they were like, if they don't know, we saw it.
It's like it didn't happen.
It's like it never happened.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So there was even forced police, quote unquote, police forces that were like, we're going to ignore this. But if they come here and say, that's the guy, we have to enforce the law.
Sounds like ISIS.
Yeah. And that was to protect property rights of slave owners and to ensure the security of their investment. But I mean, there's so much more. I have literally... There's so much more I could talk about this, but when we look at America, people think, oh, it's a racist country. Yes and no. Again, just like everybody else, it's very complicated.
Yes to the no?
Yes and no.
And no.
Yeah, because yes, we had slaves, but we didn't make that problem. We inherited that problem. And then we started the process immediately to get rid of that problem. You know what I'm saying? We had it by default. We didn't start this way. Like, we didn't want this to be like this. We inherited this from Britain, and then as soon as we gained power, we put words in law to get rid of it eventually. You know what I'm saying? Even that thing with the 20-year, we're setting a time limit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because we know eventually, little by little. And there's a guy...
So as much as you could hate some of these founding fathers, we could at least acknowledge that, yes, they did bad, but they paved the way for a revolution to occur, a change in the system to occur.
Yeah. I think he was a slave and got free. His name is Frederick Douglass. He referred back. There was a 4th of July event that they asked him to speak in. And he mentioned that in the 4th of July event. All men are created equal. Oof. He mentioned it in his speech.
And I'm starting some shit.
Yeah. And that reflects on Thomas Jefferson writing it. Like, somebody's going to use this one day.
He was a guy.
And Frederick Douglass picked it up.
He figured it out.
He used it, yeah.
Damn.
So, America's complicated. You know what I'm saying? Like,
in its complication, there's some dirt, there's some bad times, there's some bad stories, bad acts, bad deeds. But had it not been for those things, where would we have been? Because they could have just kept going and not mentioned these things, not added to all men are created equal.
Bro, who would have known? We'd be there right now.
We'd be there. We would be slaves.
Yeah, they would do a blood test on everybody. Especially with DNA, they would know.
Oh my gosh.
They're like, I'm going to check it out. I'm like,
no podcast for you guys.
Yeah. Remember, because was like, there was a one drip rule. You ever heard of that?
One drip?
One drop rule.
One drop? Oh, yeah, one drop.
Meaning, like, if your grandmother was black,
that's it.
You're black.
You're dirty.
We don't care what you look like, Obama.
Well, all right. So we're going to go into, I think this is a perfect segment into a commercial about this whole entire thing. So we're going to leave it right here. Hope you guys enjoy. The basement. Oh, wait, no, that's the wrong podcast.
Yeah, blame that on the basement. Peace.